And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Pod. Is it The Low Post Pod? And a crossover with the Hoop Collective. Post game three, Zach Lowe is joining us.
Well done.
Game four.
And it's a long year. It's a long year. The Raptors are now up 3-1 in the finals.
That's right.
The NBA finals.
Zach Lowe joining us with the Hoop Collective Low Post Pod crossover. Ramona Shelburne just got done interviewing Serge Ibaka. Or no, who'd you interview?
Yeah, Ibaka.
Serge Ibaka. It was only the biggest game of his career. Don't even worry about it. And Jackie McMullen. In the background here, there are...
What would you estimate that is? 300?
Oh, no more than that.
More.
Probably
600.
Maybe 700.
No, Raptors 700?
Fans. By tomorrow morning, it'll be 3,000.
Yeah, everybody was here.
It's twice as many as there were the other night. They tried to play music over them for a long time, but they've
I don't know what
up.
There... Is there anybody there that they're rallying around? It's just... I think
Nav is
all
there.
Staying.
Nav is there leading
the Lee
team.
Ellis from the starters is in the crowd.
Yeah. So, all right, so... pretty big transitional moment here. The Raptors have been the better team for almost this entire series. I realize that the Warriors have injuries. There's no question about that. The Warriors just took this game. Kawhi Leonard's been the best player in the playoffs. He was the best player tonight. He's been the best player in this series. They got tremendous defense. Zach Lowe, you've tracked the Raptors for so long. They're a team that usually, in the moment, under pressure, doesn't deliver. They've been delivering for a couple of months now, and here they did it again.
It's a different team, that's why. The team that crumbled under pressure had DeMar DeRozan and some other players who aren't on this team anymore, and this team has a guy who's already a Finals MVP, and I think if they pull this off, takes his place among the greatest modern-day playoff performers ever. I mean, I don't think that's hyperbole if they win and he's the Finals MVP again.
And you know what they did tonight that was so smart? Because just like the Warriors struggle, if it's anyone besides Clay or Steph in this game, I think that the rest of them shot under 40%. The Raptors get concerned when they have to take Kawhi out. They bought 5 minutes when they took him out in the second quarter. 5 minutes, and they actually made the deficit less. To me, that was so key because down the stretch, Steph looks gassed. He's playing 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Kawhi's at like 36 minutes, and I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but at the end of the game, it is. It's a big difference. So Nick Nurse handled Kawhi beautifully tonight. And he was just so far and away the best player on the court.
I'm surprised he keeps rolling out these lineups at the start of the second and fourth quarter that have both Lowry and Leonard on the bench, and they're playing even or winning. And like, if the Warriors can't win those minutes, they just are not going to win.
Exactly, and tonight they did not.
Well, like, when I watch the Warriors right now, they look like a team that has never gotten comfortable in this series because they don't know who's playing from game to game. Now, we sat with Nick Nurse before game three, and he said, you know, it's kind of like a G League game. I have experience in this. It's like, you don't ever know who's going to play in every game. Like, we're fine. We didn't know if, you know, Clay was going to play until 10 minutes before the game. We're fine with that. But for the Warriors, I'm popping into every one of these huddles. Like, my job is the sideline reporter on the radio here. It's kind of like being a peeping Tom. And like, you just sneak in there and listen, and I'm really
you
short.
You should probably use a different comparison, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, it's like you're literally, like, you just get in there and get listen into the huddles, and sometimes you see these Where's Waldo, you know, moments of Where's Momo, right? Every single time the Warriors players are talking to each other, it seems like they're not used to playing in these combinations, like these lineups and rotations that are out there right now. Draymond's talking to McKinney. McKinney is talking to Boogie. Like, they don't seem like they're in any kind of flow because, quite frankly, this isn't the team that has been out there all year.
It's also clear that Cousins just isn't ready. No. It's just, I don't know how he pulled that.
I was surprised he started him in the second half.
I don't know how they pulled that game two out of himself, but... he turned the ball over three times in the first three. He was just not ready to play.
So, Brian, I actually asked Mike Brown that at the start of the second half, like, are you going to start Boogie? Because he was killing him out there. And he said, you know, Steve really believes in showing trust in players. He wanted to show trust in Boogie there because, you know, these are my words, not Mike's on this part here. But I think they worry that if they didn't start him, his confidence would just crater. I think he's an emotional kind of guy that what that would send to him.
But he's such a defensive liability on that pick and roll. I mean, you know, go
they
back
attacked
to the
him every
game.
Yeah, every
they just
time.
Go right at him.
Every time he was on the floor, Van Vliet was good at it.
I'm just going to give Kevon Looney a ton of credit because every time there was
really
contact,
well.
He played really well, and every time his contact, you could see him wincing, especially that play down the end where he up-faked Ibaka, and Ibaka landed on him. I mean, and Clay played, what did he end up playing, 37 minutes?
Yeah.
After everything
So the Steph 47-point performance will be lost to history. And I don't know what Clay ended up with, but it was almost 30.
Yeah, he
and
was amazing.
I don't have the box score in front of me. I'm looking for it. For him to do that when it was unclear if he would even play.
It's incredible.
It was a great, great play. They just had nothing else. And like
he had 28. Curry had 27.
How many minutes for Clay?
42 minutes for Clay.
Wow. That's
unbelievable. What did he shoot? What did Clay shoot?
You would ask me that.
No, 11. He shot the ball really well. 11 for 17.
11 of 18. That's an unbelievable game for Clay. 6 of 10 for 3.
Does this make you revisit the decision to sit him in Game 3, seeing how good he was in Game 4?
We'll never know, though.
Ramona, I honestly thought that the Warriors thought Durant was going to play tonight.
Yeah, me too.
They felt confident enough to clear him to practice, and then the practice didn't go, and they reversed course. And even Steve Kerr said before the game tonight, I'm not going to give any more updates on what Kevin's doing. I'm only going to say whether he's playing or not.
So here's a return.
I don't think they were expecting.
Do we know if he was out here when they closed the court? I don't know if he was out.
Oh, that. I don't believe
when they had the closed practice before the game.
I don't think it really matters because he couldn't play in the game. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
So then here's a rhetorical question for you, though. We know his future's uncertain. He's not out here on the bench during these games. I don't know where he is.
He's in the locker room. I see him all the time, but he's in the locker room.
The bigger factor than this is where is his relationship with his teammates is always fragile.
Right.
Yep.
Where is his relationship with his teammates now? Like, I don't know. Like, only he knows how his calf feels.
Yeah.
You know, he's got his own training people. They may be telling him, you are risking an Achilles injury playing on this. I don't know that to be true. I'm just saying, like, we don't know what he's being told. We don't know how it feels.
Right. But see, to me, this is another case of perception becomes reality.
Yeah.
Okay? Because Kevon Looney's out there, and guys are falling on him, and he's playing. And Clay's playing 41 minutes on a bad hammy. And I'm not questioning Kevin Durant's toughness or his commitment to his team. But the optics, perception starts to become reality. It starts to be...
I don't care really where he watches the game, and frankly,
no. I'm just talking more about where is he at with his teammates right now.
Well, but they've been pretty publicly like he's a great leader behind the scenes and all this. But I do think, having been around them the last whatever days, and you have too, Momo, you're around them a lot. I think they're starting to become a sense of not frustration with Kevin, but just the frustration of is he going to play or not.
Yeah.
It's almost like his free agency in miniature.
Yeah.
Like the constant questions and wondering about it is beginning to wear on people.
That's what I'm getting at. It's not that everyone's saying, oh, he's such a wuss, he won't play. It's not that at all. It's just, once again, everybody's waiting on Kevin. And
I mean, look, this is the Warriors' entire season is compartmentalizing Kevin Durant and the future of Kevin Durant.
I mean, I've had people in the league, like smart people, ask me, is there any chance, like, they're hiding a more serious injury? It's absurd, but I'm saying people are searching for, like, this is just so strange that people are wondering.
What became clear in the last 24 hours, there was no, like, strategy, like, oh, we're going to hold him back.
Yeah.
They got a little bit unmasked when this didn't go the way they thought. And, look, I always talk about last year's finals. Last year, Game 3 in Cleveland, the Cavs' last stand, Steph goes 3 of 16. But Durant has 37 because they had the double MVP, the double barrel, okay? Now Steph has an off game, finally has an off game.
This first one in a while.
He was so due for an off game. No other barrel. No other way to match Kawhi
Clay
Leonard.
Clay was a barrel.
But they, but in,
no, but we're talking about size.
It's just the drop off.
I mean,
under 40%, I'm pretty sure.
Can we just say this? The Raptors are freaking good.
Yep.
This is not a scenario of, oh, well, maybe the Warriors can get healthy and get it done. They are a superior defensive team. They have tremendous experience. They have tremendous depth. They have tremendous flexibility. And they're handling the pressure okay.
They're handling the pressure incredible.
Team.
Like, Jackie, you wrote a great column after game one saying, you know, usually it's the Warriors whose strength is in numbers. This time it was the Raptors. Usually it's the Warriors who have that great third quarter where they pull the game out, where they just distance themselves. In the last two games, it's been the Raptors who pull away in the third quarter.
Right.
Usually it's the Warriors who are superior at the free throw line. In this series, the Raptors, I mean, I think they've missed a couple of times, but they've been incredible at the free throw line.
Zach, so many Raptors playoff games I've been to, you've been to a lot of them, where the Raptors just melted. When they faced pressure, they melted. From game one, really from game five in Milwaukee, they just answered every call.
To me,
such a different team.
The turning point for them, and we'll see what happens, how the series goes, is not even Milwaukee. It's game four in Philadelphia, down 2-1. That was the first time they had to summon a real toughness and a real togetherness, and they came out and won. People will always remember the Kawhi shot to win game seven, the Kawhi shot that saved them in game four in Philly over Embiid at the top of the arc looms just as almost as big to me.
And you can't talk enough about Kawhi Leonard. You keep talking about this Raptors, you know, the malaise they had. This resembles nothing of that team, because Kyle Lowry was asked to do a lot more on that team than on this team. Siakam was a baby. You know, he's coming into his own before our eyes. You have Danny Green here. And, you know, Danny Green can go 0-for-5, and then when the game's on the line, hit a 3 from the corner. Reminds me of Dennis Johnson. There's a name from the past.
Yeah.
Dennis Johnson would go 0-for-8, and then when the game was on the line, hit the game winner. Danny Green has a little bit of that in him. And Gasol and Ibaka together, what a huge... I mean, Ibaka was just sensational.
They're just trading off having great games.
What did Serge say to you after the game? You talked to him.
I mean, you know, Serge basically said, this is what we've done all year. He did entertain the notion of winning in Canada in Game 5. And I was wondering if they would even go there, because until now, they haven't. They've shut all those questions down.
They're going to go there in a couple hours.
But usually they've been, we just got one game, this is what we needed to do. This is the first time I've heard them start to believe it, maybe, you know, see it and even talk about it openly.
I'll tell you, they ran off the floor. No, they weren't high-fiving, they weren't cheering, they weren't smiling.
I think they've believed it for a while. And I had someone from I don't remember even who it was, asked me before the game, you know, do you get the vibe that they're satisfied having one here? And I was like, they have no fear of this team. And they think, they frankly think they should win. Without
Durant, they beat them twice in the year.
They think they should win.
Of course they do. And Nick, hey, how about Nick Nurse, too? Some of the adjustments he's made.
I just want to say that the game ended approximately 8:38 local time. It's 9:07, and the Raptors fans finally cleared out. It's finally started to quiet down. We can hear each other.
I have eyes in the locker room. What is going on in the Raptors locker room right now? Lowry is on his phone with his feet in ice. Van Vliet is getting his right hip iced and reenacting the hit from Livingston.
Yep.
You have eyes in the locker room. What are you, Lord Varys?
Siakam is just hanging out with his knees getting iced. There's not the Raptors fans are celebrating a near championship.
Here's what's going on though, right inside this lower bowl of the arena. This could have been the last game at Oracle Arena, and I don't think anyone believed that when the game started tonight. I think there was this, like, you couldn't even discuss it with people, but now it's become a reality that's staring people in the face. And I gotta say, I'm disappointed. I thought the Warriors fans leaving early in a game like this. I know it was 10, but for this kind of building on this kind of stage and the run this team's been on to leave early.
I don't know if they had an issue with letting the people out of the club. Maybe there was. There had to be something. The entire front row of seats was empty to start the third quarter.
Yeah, I was there. And you know who was there? Uncle Dennis.
Yeah,
Uncle Dennis. Okay, there was the whole row of seats across from the Raptors bench.
The entire row.
The only guy sitting on those seats is Dennis Robertson, Kawhi's uncle.
So speaking of Oracle and the enormity of it sneaking up on people, don't you feel like the entire NBA community, fans included, are going to wake up tomorrow and be like, wait, what? Toronto can win the championship? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, they're not paying attention.
When did that happen? But it just came like...
Right, but they're not paying attention.
We're already there? It's already ending? Yeah.
The expectation was that the world would fall into place and the Warriors would do it. And if they had Durant fully healthy, maybe that would have happened.
And I think so...
Maybe, maybe not.
But
I think there
Raptors
was this... weird blip in Game 3. Game 3, to me, did not feel like a finals game.
Yeah.
So it's like the finals were on pause. It was like the better team went up 12 and just sort of like meandered their way to a 12-point win, whatever. It was a boring kind of finals game. Then it felt like the finals again tonight. And now it's like, wait a second. It could be over in like 72 hours. It's in Toronto.
Yeah. And the way that, although I will say this, it's not. There's still a couple of things. Number one, we still have Durant uncertainty. Maybe it's a fool's situation to think that he's going to come back and be himself, but it's still there. And if they get that game, especially if Durant comes back and plays well, there's still that one last pivot, one last card to play. Do I see any sign of any of that happening? No. But I remember it was 3-1 in Cleveland. I remember that night. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Look, I talked to a Warriors person today, let's just say, and they said they think Durant is really, really close. Now, if he's really, really close, why isn't he playing right now, right? I mean, I think that's
the answer.
And the answer I get is he hasn't been cleared by the training staff. That's Rick Celebrini, that he's shutting him down. But there's no more runway. You either come back in game five or that's probably it, right?
Could I just get a quick gut check from all of you guys? Like, the Raptors are up 3-1 now. Is a Toronto title inevitable? Because before the game started, Brian said the winner of game four will win the title. He's someone that famously does not make predictions.
I don't make predictions. I feel good about it at this point.
Nothing is inevitable with the Warriors. I am not going to count them out until they're out. But they got to win twice in Toronto, and they looked like a team that didn't have answers at the end of the game today.
I think they got to win it in game five. I don't think we're coming back to Oracle. I don't see many signs of life from Golden State. And I've been one of those people who kept thinking the Warriors were going to turn it around the whole time because they're the Warriors. They usually do. But I've been around a lot of like teams, dynastic type teams when this ends. And it's usually like this. Like nobody believes it until the end.
Otherwise they wouldn't end.
Right.
Tell me, man. I lived it in Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah. Two different reincarnations.
No,
Phil Jackson's Lakers got swept by the Dallas Mavericks like 30 points every game. And it was just over.
Think about the Heat. I mean, I'll never forget being in the Heat locker room in 2014. They were kind of like happy the season was over. It was like it just ended and they got blown off the floor again. And it was like, oh, okay, that's it.
Yep.
Not saying, again, this team, I'm not going to doubt them. They have heart. Yep. They're champions. They're giants, whatever Steve likes to say.
I've been around Toronto a lot here the last, I don't know, several weeks. I've lost track. And looking at real estate there, and
it's expensive.
I know it is, but the thing I'm just gonna, and I know I'm being redundant here, but I'm gonna go back to Kawhi because we keep talking about the new Raptors. It's not the new Raptors so much as it's Kawhi, and he knows how to do this, and he's done it before. And when the game gets tight, he takes all the pressure off
of
them.
So spectacular. I've got to wrap up because I've got to go. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you,
Ramona. Guys. Great to see y'all.
We'll have a Hoop Collective over the weekend, and Zach Lowe will have
Wait, so you said welcome too, and you did it well. So can I say, I don't like to say that you have to subscribe and review. I don't want to say, I hate saying that, but subscribe. I hate saying that.
Right. Keep going.
Okay. No, I'll stop. I'm sorry. I'm being mean. I'm sorry.
Listen, subscribe, rate, review.
I hate saying that.
I'll do it for you.
When someone says to me, what did you do after game time? And I say, well, I was on the Zach Lowe podcast, but I was also on the Hoop Collective. I'm exhausted.
2-for-1. Thank you for listening to the Lowe Post Hoop Collective extravaganza. We'll be talking to you soon.
Woohoo! Where do you see the team photo?
3-1 Raptors.